Stay with us as we discuss the question, who killed Christ? Right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick is discussing a question that has been debated for 2,000 years. Who killed Jesus? Was it the Jews or was it the Gentiles? Who was responsible? I'll be back at the close of the program with news about a special offer. And now, here's Gary.
Thank you and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of the program. It's good to have you with us today as we continue this series of studies on the question, who killed Christ? And when we finished up on the last program, we were discussing the fact that many Jewish people have the mistaken notion that the New Testament is anti-Semitic. That's what they've been told, and they believe it. I told you a while back about the Jewish man I was witnessing to, who said he could never believe the New Testament because, he said, it was anti-Semitic. I asked him if he'd ever read the New Testament, and he said not only had he never read the New Testament, he never wanted to read it. He wouldn't even have one in the house, he said. But you know what? When we finally got him to tell us what he thought was in the New Testament that was anti-Semitic, it turned out to be something that wasn't even in there. I had to prove to him that the New Testament said nothing even remotely similar to what he thought it said. So let's get into the New Testament itself and see whether or not it's anti-Semitic. Let's start by taking a look, first of all, at the words of the Apostle Paul, also known as Rav Shaul, since he wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else. If you have a copy of the New Testament handy, why don't you turn with me to the book of Romans, and let's see if Paul sounds like an anti-Semite. Look what he says here in Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, that's Israel. Now watch what he says about the people of Israel. Eight things. Number one, he says, to whom pertaineth the adoption. Number two, and the glory. Number three, and the covenants. Number four, and the giving of the law. Number five, and the service of God. Number six, and the promises. Number seven, whose are the fathers or the patriarchs. And number eight, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, the Messiah came, who is over all, God blessed forever. So here we have the man who wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else saying eight things about the people of Israel. Number one, they are the ones to whom pertaineth the adoption. In other words, they are the first ones, even before the church, to benefit from divine adoption. Number two, they were the first to experience God's Shekinah presence or glory. Number three, the eight basic covenants of the Bible were all delivered first to Israel, even though the church shares in some of the blessings of those covenants. Number four, the law, HaTorah, was delivered to Israel. Number five, he talks about the service of God, or temple worship. The Jerusalem temple, known to the Jews as Beit HaMikdash, was the world center for Jewish worship. That's where the sacrifices and the ceremonies of temple worship were carried out by the Kohanim, the Jewish priests. Number six, the messianic promises were given to Israel. Number seven, the fathers or the patriarchs also belong to Israel. Who are the patriarchs? Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his 12 sons. Those are the patriarchs. They are the ones through whom the messianic promises and blessings would be fulfilled. The Messiah himself, in fact, would come through the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Jacob's son, Judah. And that's why Paul says, number eight, that it was through Israel that the Messiah came, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. So the Messiah was Jewish. The patriarchs were Jewish. The priests were Jewish. The temple worship was Jewish. The law was Jewish. The covenants were all made with the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what Paul is doing here is what? He's showing the central place of Israel in God's plan. And again, does that sound like the ravings of an anti-Semite to you? Now, let me show you something else. One anti-Semitic teaching we're hearing today is that God is finished with Israel. They say the church has replaced Israel in God's economy because God has rejected Israel. But listen to what Paul says in Romans 11, verse 1. He says, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." Verse 2, "God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew." Now, the amillennialists and replacement theologians do all kinds of theological cartwheels and sleight of hand to try to get around Romans 11. But all you have to do is read it. And it's very clear what Paul was saying. The setting aside of Israel was temporary, while God calls out a people for himself from among the Gentiles. But at the end of this age, Paul looked forward to a glorious time when all Israel will be saved. Romans 11, 26. So again, does any of this sound like the Apostle Paul was anti-Semitic? And remember, he wrote more of the New Testament than any other single writer. So then, if the New Testament truly is not anti-Semitic, and if we can trust it to give us the right answers to these questions, then what we want to know is, who killed Christ? Who was responsible for the death of the Messiah? And here's the answer the New Testament gives. It's found in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. This is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know," verse 23, "him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." There's the answer to the question. The responsibility for Christ's death is shared between three parties. Number one, God himself, because the Messiah was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Number two, the Jewish nation is implicated, because Peter tells the men of Israel that they were the ones who took or apprehended the Messiah. And number three, the Gentiles or the Romans are implicated, because he says, "by wicked hands have crucified and slain." The wicked hands that actually performed the execution were those of the Romans. That's the answer. As simple as 1, 2, 3. You see, by the time the New Testament finishes answering the question, we're all on the hook. We're all implicated, Jew and Gentile alike. But first and foremost, it wasn't the Jews who were responsible for the death of the Messiah, and it wasn't the Gentiles. It was first and foremost God himself. Notice what our text says. The Messiah was delivered up by what? By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You say, "Gary, are you saying that God killed his own son?" That's exactly what I'm saying. And more importantly, that's what the Bible says. Remember the Old Testament story of Abraham and Isaac? It says in Genesis 22 that God tested Abraham and told him to take his only son, Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Now, if you have children of your own, you can imagine how difficult it would be to kill your own child. It would tear your heart out. But Abraham obeyed God. He took his only son, Isaac, and traveled 3 days' journey to a place called Mount Moriah. But when they got there, Abraham said something rather strange to his servants. He said, "You guys wait here with the donkey while Isaac and I go up the mountain. We will worship, and then we will return to you." He didn't say, "I will return," but "we will return." You see, Abraham knew that Isaac was the son of promise. He knew that Isaac was the son through whom the promises and prophecies of the Messiah would be fulfilled. So do you know what Abraham thought was going to happen? He thought he was going to kill Isaac, and then God was going to resurrect him from the dead. Hebrews 11:19 says that Abraham was reckoning that God was able to raise Isaac up even from the dead, because Abraham knew that God's promises had to be fulfilled. But just before Abraham's knife found its mark, God stopped him. He told Abraham not to lay a hand on the boy, and God provided a ram as a substitute sacrifice. And it was on this spot, on Mount Moriah, that the temple was later built. And according to Jewish tradition, the rock where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac became the foundation stone under the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant sat, and where the blood was sprinkled on the Day of Atonement. And all of those sacrifices were like little prophecies pointing forward to the coming of the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. By the way, if you go to Israel with us, you'll see Mount Moriah for yourself. Today it's called the Temple Mount. If you'd like one of our Israel brochures, just let us know. But long before the crucifixion, even before the foundations of the world, God knew that His Son would have to die. God sacrificed His own Son. And we'll talk more about the divine role in the crucifixion on the next program. Until then, this is Gary Hedrick saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friends, for joining us today. It's always good to have you with us here on Messianic Perspectives. Well, it's true. The question of who killed the Messiah has been debated for centuries. Anti-Semites have been quick to lay the blame on the Jewish people because it was the Jewish leadership who betrayed him into the hands of the Romans. Others have said, no, it was the Romans because they were the ones who actually carried out the execution. But in reality, we're all to blame because he died for the sins of the whole world. That is why he died, because of our sins. So every one of us who has ever done anything wrong is responsible, at least in part, for his death. If you'd like your own copy of Gary's series, or would like a copy for a friend, you'll be glad to know that it's available on CD for the suggested gift of just $6. The title is, Who Killed Christ? Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on Who Killed Christ? Right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.